Well, let me say to you as well, as several already have, good morning. We are glad to see you here. Thank you so much for joining us today. Maybe it's your first time or your first time in a long time. We are glad to have you. I would love to be able to take just a moment and greet you at the end of the service. I have a free gift that I want to give to you just for being our guest. So please take a moment, stop by, say hello. I'll be right down here. The congregation of Five Forks Baptist Church affords me the opportunity to stand right down here when service ends so that I can meet you. Okay, so please, please take advantage of that opportunity. We appreciate your being here. Those of you who are watching via video, we are so glad that you are able to join us as well for the Easter services of Five Forks Baptist Church. We are thrilled with what God is doing here and what God can do in your life today as well. Well, folks, I have up here on this opening slide, you see this and you say, wow, that doesn't look very Easter-y. That's because it's not, okay? If you look in your bulletin, you're going to find one of these, and that is an invitation to a series that starts next Sunday morning, the new teaching series coming up called In the Footsteps of Faith. We're going to look at those people in Hebrews 11. It says in Hebrews 11, so then faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it goes on to talk about all these great heroes of the faith. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear and built an ark. By faith, Abraham, being called to a place that he would receive for an inheritance, went out, not knowing where he was going. Faith is all about going and not knowing. Now, maybe you've been around somebody who has a whole lot of faith. And you look at that person and you say, wow, I wish I could be like that. I wish I could have that much faith. Actually, what you need is not a bigger view in faith. It's a bigger view of God. And so what we're going to see during the course of the next few weeks is that it is not great faith in God that you need. It's faith in a great God that you need. And we're going to see that over the course of these parts. I want to encourage you to join us for that. But right now, we are in the midst of a series called One Week to Live. And it's really kind of funny that we call it that, because there was one week to live in Jesus' life until that other time when he lived again, until that time when he was raised from the dead. And that's what we're talking about today. Now, I was the youngest of four kids. When I was little, let's say five, my mom and dad also had a 7-year-old, an 8-year-old, and an 11-year-old at that point, okay? And we ate, okay? I don't know if you have eaters in your family, but we ate a lot, okay? So when there was time for, you'd better eat when it was time to eat, okay? So we had cereal, and we really liked cereal. Now, those of you, and this is just a rabbit trail, those of you who are students, you are so deprived, okay? If you're children, you're so deprived in here. Anymore you look at the prize on the box of cereal, it's like an app, okay? It's you download an app and it gives you something. Man, when we were little, there was a prize in the box, okay? And it was something awesome that you just really wanted to have there. Now, there were four of us, so we went through a lot of cereal. My mother would not let us be uncivilized barbarians and dig our hand down in the cereal to get the prize, okay? So the rule was this, you had to go ahead and eat the cereal, and as gradually as the prize got uncovered, whoever it was who was eating the cereal when the prize got uncovered, they got the prize, and that's what was so exciting about that. Just, the cereal was good, but then there was that neat little prize inside. That's something of what we're going to look at today. You're going to see a prize in the middle of our text today that is going to maybe change the way you look at what God does, not just in the lives of the people back then, but in your life today. Mark's Gospel. If you have a Bible, I want to encourage you to turn there. Okay, Mark's gospel, second book in the New Testament. You come to Matthew, it's Matthew, Mark. Mark is a book that talks about doing the will of God immediately. Okay, it shows Jesus as a servant. And if you look at Mark's gospel, it goes from thing to thing to thing to thing, jumping all around, showing you Jesus doing the will of the Father. If you are ADHD and looking for a book of the Bible to read, Mark is the book for you because it is very fast. Paced and it goes from one thing to the other. I want to encourage you as we look in Mark chapter 16 today, you're going to see something important for your life. Now, if you don't have a Bible but you have a smartphone or a tablet, I want to encourage you. There is a link in your bulletin. You can follow along digitally there. Those of you who aren't following along digitally, or even if you are, if you open up your bulletin, you're also going to see some blanks in your notes page, kind of an outline that will help you to follow along here as well. Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says this: when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they could go and anoint him. That's Jesus. Jesus has died. Jesus has been buried. But because Jesus was being buried right up against the time of the Sabbath, remember, Jews reckon time from sundown to sundown. So it was right up against sundown on Friday night, which became Saturday morning when the sun went down. And so because of that, they didn't have the time to put those spices on him that they would typically do for bodies in ancient Jerusalem when they would die. And so they come early after the Sabbath so they can anoint him. Verse 2, very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb at sunrise. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance to the tomb for us?" Looking up, they observed that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a long white robe sitting on the right side. They were amazed and alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he told them. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has been resurrected. He's not here. See the place where they put him. But go, tell his disciples," important two words right here, "and Peter." Go tell his disciples and Peter. "He's going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you." So they went out and started running from the tomb because trembling and astonishment overwhelmed them. Now that God has spoken to us through the reading of his word, let's speak with him in prayer today. Father, thank you. Thank you for the message that you are giving us from your word today. When your word is read, power ensues. When your word is read, problems seem so much smaller. When your word is read, our lives are changed to be like Jesus. Lord, I pray that prayer for every person in this room today, that as we leave this place, no matter what decision gets made, that we will be more like Jesus. It's in his name we ask it. Amen. Two small words. They make all the difference. Mark's account begins, it recounts the women who came for the burial. To their amazement, they find the tomb is empty, the stone is rolled away. There's an angel inside who tells them he isn't here, that he is risen. And then he says, "Go and tell his disciples and Peter." You know, in that sense, in a way, we have the gospel in two words, "and Peter." Why do you find that? Why do you find that here? In our society today, that's not what you would have seen. In our society today, you probably would have seen either antagonism or appreciation. I don't know if you watched. I watched a little bit of basketball last night, college basketball, and I was watching UCLA and Gonzaga, and as that game was coming down to the wire, one of the Gonzaga players went up and blocked a shot for the UCLA player. And the UCLA player, the force of the block shot kind of pushed him onto the ground. And when that happened, the Gonzaga player stood over him and went like this, okay, and kind of stared at him, okay? Antagonism. You would think maybe that's what you would have seen here. We live in an in-your-face world that sometimes has some taunting. So the angel doesn't say, go tell his disciples, and hey, go tell Pontius Pilate too. You know, go tell Herod, go tell the Pharisees, those people who put him to death. Yeah, that didn't last. Take that. Or appreciation. You know, sometimes we live in a world where it's, what have you done for me lately? You know, sure, you may be the person most qualified for the job, but you didn't help out with the governor's reelection campaign, so you don't get the job. Hey, maybe he says, go tell John, go tell Nicodemus or Joseph of Arimathea who were so nice to me at the time of my death. But instead, we get words of affection about Peter. Now, to understand this, you have to understand a little bit of the backstory here. Peter is the kind of guy, he's an interesting guy, he cannot do anything halfway. Peter is wide open, full throttle, everything he does. So when he is doing what is good and right, it is amazing. And when he is not doing what is right, he craters spectacularly. And that's what happened here. A few weeks before this, Peter is the one who, when Jesus said, who do you say I am? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And so essentially what he's saying right there is, Peter, you were just a mouthpiece for God when you spoke. Peter was riding high. But then there's the night when Jesus is taken into custody. Peter's standing beside the fire, kind of outside of where Jesus is having his trial. Somebody comes up and says, hey, you look familiar. Aren't you one of the guys who were with Jesus? Peter gets scared and he says, no, it's not me. And then a little girl who's standing there says, no. I think it was you. I think it was you who was with him. And he says, no, it wasn't me. I don't know the guy. And then finally, another person says it, and he swears and says, I do not know that man. When he fell spectacularly. It says he goes out and he weeps bitterly. After that. Why? He remembered very well the words of Jesus. Jesus says this, whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Y'all, faith that will not lead to confession will not lead to heaven. And so Peter, recognizing he has failed, says, what do I do now? And he goes out and he weeps bitterly, the Bible says. Maybe you know what that feels like. Maybe you've blown it. Second chances are hard to come by. Ask the kid that doesn't get into Little League. The guy who gets laid off. The mother of three who gets dropped for somebody younger and prettier. Not many second chances today. But what's the message of the empty tomb? The message of the empty tomb, in two little words, and Peter, says you can have a second chance today. Maybe you're faced with your own setback. Maybe you're faced with your own sorrow. Maybe you came in this place absolutely low. Maybe you need to hear from God today about Easter. Easter means hope. It means a new start. It means a new life, a new opportunity, a new beginning. There are four really powerful things that those two little words tell us today, and Peter. And I want you to see those. You've got blanks in your notes page. That first one tells us through the empty tomb. The second chance is possible. It is possible. All of it's possible because of the resurrection. Jesus is an expert at overthrowing the impossible. As a matter of fact, the life of Jesus is bracketed with two impossibilities: a virgin's womb and an empty tomb. Jesus entered our world through a door marked no entrance, and he left through a door marked no exit. You weren't supposed to be able to get out the way he did. If there were no resurrection, there couldn't be good news. If there were no resurrection, there could never be an "and Peter." Maybe you read Mark 16:7 and you say, you know what, I'm okay. Remember, when Peter heard these words, it says he went out and he wept bitterly. That word "wept" is an interesting word in the Greek language, the language the Bible was originally written in. And it's the idea of, you know when you cry, have y'all ever had one of those ugly cries where you cry and it's almost like you're about to hyperventilate and you feel like you can't cry anymore? Maybe you want to throw up a little bit because it's so, it's just so difficult. That's what that word means, wept bitterly. Can you imagine what that felt like? To deny you ever knew Jesus. Maybe you can. I mean, let's be honest. I think probably everybody in here, this pastor included, there has been a time when you turned and ran when you should have stood and fought. I think everybody can probably remember a time like that. Maybe you've had to stand in front of your wife and tell her that you had an affair and watch her eyes well up with tears. Maybe you had to tell your boss you took something from the company when it became apparent you couldn't hide it anymore. Or maybe you just lied or cheated or stole or were arrogant or angry. Make sure you understand this. Sin is not just about breaking God's laws. It's about breaking his heart. But because of those two words, "and Peter," the second chance is possible. Now, it's possible, but it's not automatic. Judas didn't get the second chance. He felt bad, but he didn't repent. He didn't change. He didn't turn around. Pontius Pilate felt bad about handing Jesus over, but we're never told anything about any repentance in his life. This passage isn't for people who think they can do whatever they please. It is for people who have repented and recognized their sin. There are not a lot of second chances in this world, but Easter is one of them. Easter means hope. It means new life. It means a fresh start. The second chance is possible. But secondly, the second chance is also personal. Personal. Jesus singles Peter out by name. John 10:3 says, "He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." That's a personal message. Maybe you've had that experience. Maybe you've had the experience of the boss calling you out by name at work and saying, "You did a great job on this project." Maybe you've had the experience of your coach saying, "Hey, that play that you made, that was one of the deciding plays of this game. You get the game ball." When a son knows his father believes in him, he works that much harder. The empty tomb shows us that the second chance isn't just possible. It's personal. God still works in people's lives as he changes the world. And God wanted to work in Peter's life, and he wasn't done with him. Peter's fall had been public. That is so hard. Thomas Edison was at work one time creating the very first light bulb. Took them 24 hours working solid to assemble the very first light bulb. There was only one in the world. They gave it to one of his young apprentices, who was a younger boy, to carry up the stairs, and they were going to do some testing in the upper part of the lab. And the little boy is carrying that thing, and he is scared to death, wanting to make sure he does it exactly right. And you've probably guessed by now, he gets to the last stair and he trips. And the only light bulb in the world falls and breaks on the stairs. So they go back down to the lab. They work 24 more hours to assemble another light bulb. It's hard to mess up. It's hard to mess up in public. But because of this passage, we find a very personal second chance. I think there's a sense where all of heaven is pulling for Peter right now, as though they're pulling for him to come on, get back up. Oh, the story with Edison. 24 more hours they work to assemble that light bulb. It's time to take it back up the stairs. Edison hands it to the boy who dropped it and tells him to take it back up again. Y'all, sin can do a lot of things in your life. Sin can wreck your heart, it can wreck your home, it can wreck your plans and the people around you, but make sure you hear me very clearly. Sin cannot make God stop loving you. Easter means there is hope, there is new life, there is a new possibility, because the second chance is not just possible, it is personal. Third thing I want you to see is it's also private. Now, we've talked before about your faith is not supposed to be private, and that's true, but this second chance is private. There's an amazing verse in 1 Corinthians 15. It says this, Paul talking, I passed on to you what was most important and what had been passed on to me, that Christ died for our sins just as the Scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day just as the Scripture said. And then he says this, he was seen by Peter and then by the 12. So when Jesus came out of the tomb, apparently one of the first things he did was to go and to see Peter. Peter thought he was finished, but Jesus found him privately. We don't know what happened, but that must have been an amazing meeting. Such a consideration from Jesus. He meets Peter alone before he meets with the rest of the disciples. He meets Peter alone before he goes to see the rest of the brothers. But that passage tells us something more of importance too. It tells us that the gospel comes through a personal encounter that you have with the risen Jesus. Make sure you understand, you do not get baptized into an encounter with Jesus when you are a baby. You don't earn an encounter with Jesus by doing good stuff. You don't get an encounter with Jesus because you have a whole lot of feeling, although feeling can accompany it. Sidlow Baxter said this one time. He said, your emotions are the shallowest part of your nature. Salvation is the deepest work of God. He will never do his deepest work in the shallowest part alone. So make sure you understand, there may be something emotional in your life. But ask yourself the genuine question, have I had a private encounter with Jesus Christ himself? I didn't ask you if your parents did. God does not have spiritual grandchildren. God has spiritual children. You may think you know me because you hear my voice, because you read my words on email or something like that, but you can't look deep down into my spirit. But if you were able to, you would see on my soul a stamp of authenticity by God himself that says, Tim, you belong to me. It's not an emotional feeling because emotions are not primary in your salvation. It's not an intellectual thing because salvation can't always be rationalized. Salvation is a God thing. And it is a private encounter. The second chance was private for Peter. Fourth, I want you to see the second chance is profitable. it's profitable. This meeting transformed Peter's life. In John 21, Jesus talks to Peter after saying this. It says he told Peter, "Follow me." Peter becomes the leader in the church. The guy who denied he ever knew Jesus, the guy who fell spectacularly, becomes the leader of the church. He becomes the go-to guy. He becomes the guy who had it all together. But only because he became the one who got the second chance. Not a lot of second chances in our world today. In our world, it's dog eat dog. Come strong, don't come at all. Not a whole lot of room at the top. Or maybe the most prevalent one today, in our world, it's cancel culture. In our world, it is, you mess up, we're done with you. We don't ever want to hear from you again. Delete your accounts. Get rid of your platform. Don't come and speak anywhere. We don't want to hear anything you have to say. But you know, it's interesting. It's interesting the way we allow a bunch of failures to tell us how much of a failure we are. God says to Peter, sure, you can have a second chance. You know, it's interesting, the Gospel of Mark is written by a guy named John Mark. He was Peter's personal scribe. He dictated Peter's letters, as a matter of fact, 1st and 2nd Peter. I wonder if this story was so ingrained in his mind that he wrote it this way for a reason. Maybe today you're sitting there and you say, you know what? I'd like a second chance. I'd like a second chance with God. I'd like a second chance in life. I'd like to be able to have that freedom, that forgiveness that comes from saying, God, I blew it, and God picking you up and giving you a second chance. I have good news for you then. For some of you, the next 2 minutes is going to be the most important 2 minutes of your life. I want you to listen like your life depends on it, because it actually does. I'm about to explain to you the only possible way you can get to heaven according to the Bible. You say, I'd like that. I'd like to have my past forgiven. I'd like to have purpose for living now. I'd like to have that home in heaven in the future. I'd like a second chance. How do I get it? One of the things that I talk about is establishing a spiritual base in your life. And the reason we use that word base, each one of those letters stands for something. The first letter, B, stands for believe. I need to believe that Jesus died on the cross for me and then showed he was God by coming back to life. So I believe that not just Jesus was a good man. I don't just believe that he was a wise teacher. I don't just believe that he had a lot of cool sayings. I don't even believe that he was a good model for living. I believe that he died for me and that he was more than a man. He's God himself. And he proved he was God by coming back to life. Second thing, A, accept. I need to accept God's free forgiveness for my sin. So I come to Jesus and I say, I know you died for me, and I accept that gift you have given to me. And then S, that word switch. Switch to God's plan for my life. The Bible calls this repentance. It means to turn. It means to turn around, to change. It means that I'm going one way and suddenly I am overwhelmed and I turn to face Jesus. Switching to God's plan for my life. Instead of going my own way, I go God's way now. And E, express. I express my desire for Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. To say, yes, I'm going to give you control. I'm going to put you in charge. I'm going to put you in charge of everything. Even that thing in my head right now that when Pastor Tim says everything, I say, oh yeah, everything except that. Yeah, that thing too. I express my desire for Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Are you ready to do that? Make sure you understand, many people claim to be Christians that simply are not. Many people claim to belong to Jesus who simply do not. Many people claim and think they are going to heaven when they simply are not. Your background might be Catholic or Jewish or Protestant or Mormon or Buddhist or Baptist. It does not matter what your background is. I am not talking to you about religion. I am talking to you about a relationship with God that is made possible by Jesus Christ. That's what Easter is all about. God knows you. He wants you to know Him. So you come with an open heart and you say, God, here I am. It's not every day that you get a second chance. Peter knew that. It's what made him the leader in the Jerusalem church. It's what compelled him to write those books towards the end of the New Testament, 1st and 2nd Peter. It was enough for him to carry the gospel of the second chance all the way to Rome, where in order to shut him up, they condemned him to death. If you have ever wondered what would compel somebody to be crucified upside down, because they did not feel worthy to die in the same manner that Jesus did, now you know. It's not every day that you get a second chance. It's definitely not every day that you find somebody who will give you a second chance every single day. In Jesus, Peter found both of those things. And so can you. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. In the stillness of this moment, let me say a word to those of you who are here in the service today. In just a moment, I am going to ask you to do something that will take courage. I understand that. I'm going to ask you to leave your seat, make your way into one of the four aisles that we have here, come down to the front, and join me and just say, Pastor Tim, I'd like to know Jesus. I'd like the second chance. However you want to phrase it is fine. You don't have to worry about what to say beyond that. We have people who can help you with that. But by your coming, you're just saying, I want to go God's way today. I'm going to take a moment and pray for those of you in this room. And then I'm going to talk to you and to the camera for just a moment. Father, I pray for those in this room as their hearts are being touched. I pray that you will move in their hearts and help them to see that the second chance is possible in their life. It is personal for them. It is a private encounter with Jesus. And it is profitable in a way that will change them forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Those of you who are watching via video and those of you who are in this room, today if you want to know Jesus, it is as simple as calling on Him in prayer. You would pray a prayer something like this: Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know my sin has separated me from you. I know you died on the cross for my sin and you proved you were God by rising from the grave. I now ask you to forgive me of my sin and save my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. And whether you prayed that prayer on camera or whether you prayed that prayer in this room, if you meant it in your heart, the Bible says you are now a new creation in Jesus. I want to encourage you, if you're watching via video, reach out to me, tim@fiveforks.org. I would love to share with you what's next in God's plan for your life. Those of you in this room, I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to ask you to come and receive what is next in God's plan for your life. So in just a moment, we're going to sing a song. And as we sing that song, I'm going to ask you to just come and say, Pastor Tim, I prayed that prayer, or I need to pray that prayer, and we would be happy to talk with you and tell you what's next in your new life with Jesus Christ. Sure, you can have a second chance. That second chance can begin today. It can begin now. If God's speaking to you, don't wait for somebody else. You come right now as we sing.